Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. The sun has been out. It's not overcast. It's not raining. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday here in Middle Tennessee. Let's say hello to Mitch Light from The Athletic, who is working on his new contract with us today. We gave him a new deal at the end of last week in his visit with us on Tuesday. So today he is working under the premise of doubling his pay. So this is probably going to be the best you've ever heard out of Mitch Light. He's going to bring it today. Mitch, how you doing?
We've even renamed the segment now, right? It was Mitch after Mason, then it was Mitch after Fitch, and now it's what, Mitch?
Well, it could next year, if you guys will have me back, it could be Light after Lee, but I'll leave that up to your market.
Yeah. I like that.
But, Darren, I'm working on an unsigned contract. I'm staring at it right now. But just,
I decided
to come on the show. Yeah.
I did not know.
That, like, in coaches, they'll be like halfway through a year, and they'll be like, so-and-so hasn't signed his contract. You're like, what are they? I forgot the term, like working on some sort of agreement. So, maybe I'll just keep filibustering. I'll just keep talking about this so we don't, you know, have to actually talk college football. But hope you're doing well.
Yeah, everything is good. So we had Candace Story Lee on in the second hour of the show to kind of walk us through the process as she announced on our airwaves last night during the 7 o'clock hour. That was official. It was out there yesterday, but we were still waiting for Vanderbilt to make it official, and she did that last night, that indeed Clark Lee will be the next head football coach at Vanderbilt. What do you make of the hire?
Yeah, it was, I would say, predictable. That was one of the first names that came to mind when the opening, you know, is this stuff. Most of the stuff isn't rocket science. Sometimes there will be a candidate from left field that no one's really talking about, but in the Vanderbilt search, at least the finalists, the people we believe they really honed in on at the end were the ones that all of us thought they might. I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. And I think Joe Rex wrote in his story today at The Athletic, did a great job capturing why Clark Lee might be the ideal fit at Vanderbilt. It's obviously a job that comes with a lot of challenges and seems to be the right time for a guy like Clark Lee. And I think Tim Corbin said this, maybe in Vanderbilt's release, that he said Vanderbilt was fortunate sort of to get Clark at the right time. It just worked out that he was a rising star, so to speak, when Vanderbilt was looking for a coach. If this was 2 years ago, he's a linebackers coach at Notre Dame, not really a candidate. If this is 3 years from now, he might be the head coach at Notre Dame, or he might be the head coach somewhere else. So it worked out. And a funny, just the way things kind of work out, and not just in coaching, but I was thinking about this the other day. If Texas A&M, if Kevin Sumlin doesn't implode, although I don't know if he really imploded, they just fired him, but if Kevin Sumlin doesn't get fired and they don't pay Jimbo Fisher $75 million, Clark Lee is probably not the head coach at Vanderbilt. Why? Because Jimbo Fisher wanted to go out and hire one of the best defensive coordinators, and they paid big money to hire Mike Elko away from Notre Dame 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And then Brian Kelly promotes Clark Lee as to be defensive coordinator. So Mike Elko is probably still at Notre Dame if Texas A&M doesn't hire him. And like I said before, Clark Lee is probably a linebackers coach. So kind of my long-winded answer said I think it was the right choice, as I've said throughout the process, that I thought Vanderbilt was very fortunate that there was a really good pool of kind of up either established mid-major coaches or top coordinators. But as we know, and as we look at, we talk about Jim Harbaugh and Scott Frost and Justin Fuente, the ideal fits don't seem to be working out in college football recently, so we just never know.
How encouraged are you that, and we basically got confirmation from Candace earlier in the show. I think I even asked you about this last week. I have been told behind the scenes that, don't be surprised, Chancellor Dermeyer is going to be very, very involved in this process. And she basically said it. I mean, she didn't basically. She said he was very involved in this process. How encouraged are you? Because that hasn't always been the case, as you know, at Vanderbilt. But for anybody that loves athletics at Vanderbilt and is rooting for athletics to be successful, to have the chancellor very involved in this process has to be encouraging, right?
Yeah, but sometimes it can be a be careful what you wish for. I think it was a good, in this case, because Chancellor Dermeyer seems to get it, seems to know what he was looking for, and seems to be on the same page with Candace. I think there are some cases, not just at Vanderbilt, though, you have school presidents and chancellors who want to get involved and don't know what they don't know. And these guys are running universities, so they think they know everything. So you might have a guy in there that gets wowed by the wrong things. But I think in this case it was a good thing because it kind of shows everyone's on the right page. But there's plenty of examples in college athletics where you almost have too many cooks in the kitchen, and then you have a school president making decisions because they think they're the smartest guy in the room when that's really not their area of expertise.
We had Bruce Feldman on the show yesterday, and I said, "Can I tell you something funny?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Remember when we all thought that these coaches had a pass this season? You know, and here we are talking about now the third opening in the SEC, and Auburn has to pay $21.5 million for Gus Malzahn to go away in the middle of a pandemic. Hopefully we're on the back end of a pandemic. But what did you make? And I know, you know, this has been going on for a while. It just didn't happen this past week. This has been going on for a while. For whatever reason, there just hasn't been that love affair the last couple of years for Gus Malzahn. I guess he's just not winning at a high enough clip for them. What did you make of that move?
I was surprised, definitely. He's a guy that's had some success, obviously. Beat Nick Saban 3 times. It's always difficult from the outside looking in. Like, you know, who are we to tell Auburn that should be enough? You know, it's their school.
Yeah.
They can – that's kind of my approach. Like, you know, not that the fans or the local media should decide, but – sometimes we just, you know, who are we to tell them that not to make a move? One thing about Auburn, too, and I don't know all the details, but, you know, people are just going crazy about the money and the payout. It seems to be that that's going to be booster paid there, which is sometimes the case, sometimes not the case. So it's not like the school blowing all this money. But, again, it's a ton of money to pay a coach. So the thing is, when you make a move like that, it seems like you've got the next guy lined up because that's a high-profile move. And you know, I know there's a lot of debate internally at Auburn about Hugh Freeze. So I expected the next 2 days later after that move to, you know, them to have Hugh Freeze locked up as the next head coach. Now they have a search firm. Looks like it will not be imminent. And you just talk to people and you read things. This is a very Auburn thing too. Like I said before, too many cooks in the kitchen. Supposedly the athletic director, Alan Green, I believe his name is, doesn't want Hugh Freeze because of the NCAA infractions. But shockingly, there's some boosters who do want him. There's a push for Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator. And I know this was a long time ago.
Which is amazing.
But listen, I mean, I know you guys have probably talked about this. Listen to these numbers for Kevin Steele as the head coach at Baylor.
It's one brutal.
It's not suitable for work. 1-31 in the Big 12 in
Yikes.
4 years. Average margin of defeat, 32.5 points per game. Only one of his 31 losses was by fewer than 14 points.
Oof.
One more. In the last 25 years, Steele has the worst average point differential as a head coach with a minimum of 40 games. I know it was a long time ago, and I know Baylor wasn't very good, but you fire Gus Malzahn to hire that guy, who's done a great job as a defensive coordinator, very well respected. But I just, if that's what they end up with, and one more thing about Gus Malzahn, though, and I'm sure he's a smart guy and he's a good offensive coach, but a decade ago, Gus Malzahn's offenses were fun, productive, you know, power running game. They did all really fun stuff. He has not, I think I heard the other day, and I could easily look this up, but it's like the last 5 years they haven't finished in the top half of the SEC. they have not been good offensively. So that's kind of Gus Malzahn's
calling. Yeah, why is that? I brought that up yesterday, Mitch, because really when you get down to it, since he's been there, they've been known more for their incredible defense than their offense.
Defensive line, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think they've had the great quarterback. I mean, Jarrett Stidham's in the NFL. Bo Nix has not. He's been way too inconsistent. I mean, some of his – I really jumped on board the Gus Malzahn bandwagon. I forgot the guy's name, but the year that the they had the junior college former defensive back at Georgia who became their quarterback, and their offense was incredible. But they had great running backs. They had Kerryon Johnson and those guys. And I'm just trying to blank on was it Marshall, the quarterback's name?
Yes, yes.
I was just like, at that point, you're like, okay, he can plug anyone in at quarterback, and they're going to be good. And, you know, they've had weird offensive line turnovers. It's like where they've had four starters back, and then the next year, no starters back. And I don't know if there's been a lack of continuity in the offensive line. There's been a lot of turnover at the offensive line staff. They've had good receivers the last 2 years. Like I said, I'm sure he's a smart guy. His offense, he should be able to adjust, but there's clearly something missing there because they have not been consistently good on offense in the last 5 years.
Talking to
Nick
Mitch
Marshall,
Light.
I think. Yeah.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic and talking about some college football things, of course, as the wheels are turning here, championship week coming up on Saturday. But, Mitch, one or two more on the Clark Lea thing. I was reading through a very comprehensive article by Joe Rexroad, who I know you're working close with the Athletic team. And this was an interesting point that Wake Forest, I even asked Candace Story about the whole lining up with Northwestern and the whole idea of you got an alumni and Pat Fitzgerald who wants to be there. He's built a really solid program year after year. That's a really good model to look at. But Joe actually brought up Wake Forest, a place that Clark Lea made a stop at. That's another good parallel to what Vanderbilt maybe is trying to build.
That's a case of just, I'm sure they've had some good investment, all that stuff. That's a case of making a good hire, Dave Clawson, and letting him do his thing. You know, I know.
And think about the craziness, how crazy that might sound to a Tennessee fan, right? That Dave Clawson was the perfect hire for Wake Forest.
Right. Well, go look at his Wikipedia page. I mean, he was good everywhere as a head coach. He's been, won FCS, then went back to Bowling Green and did well there before Wake Forest. He's just a really solid coach who sounds like a cliche. Just built it the right way. They recruited, they redshirted, they took it on the chin early, and they've had good quarterbacks. That's the thing, they've kind of struck it with quarterbacks, and as we saw, Kendall Hinton, the quarterback of the Broncos, was a quarterback and wide receiver at Wake Forest. And they just, now, winning, being a 6-7-8 win team in the ACC is different than the SEC. Like, the top of the ACC is obviously very, very good, but there's just the middle and bottom. There's easier room for upward mobility there, but yeah, I think that's a good example of just hiring the right guy and being patient with him and not expecting immediate dividends. Now, I don't care where you are, college football, it's about commitment, but it's about coaching. When you got the right coach in place, you're gonna have a chance to be good. And when you don't, you're not going to be good. Look at Stanford. You know, before Jim Harbaugh, they had some really difficult years. Buddy Tevens' era didn't go well. There's coaches that did not win there. They hired a great coach in Jim Harbaugh and kind of got it rolling. So it's really about just finding the right coach and the right fit for your school.
Any thoughts? I know with the staff, there's a lot of connections. He's been a lot of places. But do you have any names that come to mind that Vanderbilt fans might be thinking about that might come along with Clark Lea somewhere?
Yeah, this is interesting, too, because Clark Lea has been around a lot, so he has, connections all over the place. I think this last staff that Derek Mason had was maybe his best staff. Now, it's a big, Andy Ludwig fan when he was offensive coordinator here. I thought he did a good job. So here's the question. I'm just throwing this out there. If you're a new head coach and you're not a current head coach, so it's not like you're bringing your staff with you, and the program has struggled in recent years, do you want a clean house? Do you want to bring all your guys? Or, because Tim Horton, Vanderbilt's running backs coach, was at Auburn before, very well respected. Offensive line coach, Pete Rossomondo, that offensive line overachieved this year. If you know what the personnel issues they had, they overachieved. So there are some guys on that staff that would be enticing to bring back. Jovan Hay, I'd be surprised if he is not retained. He's the defensive line coach who played with Clark Lea and has been one of the team's most effective recruiters.
What about Kyle Shermer?
Kyle Sherman, well, he might still be trying to, you know, play in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, he was a volunteer. I don't know if he'd be ready to be like a position coach yet. But Norval McKenzie was a running back from Marietta, Georgia, who played for Bobby Johnson and was a backfield mate of Clark Lee. He's the running backs coach at, Louisville. I know when he was at Arkansas State, Norvell tried to get in the picture for a job at Vanderbilt. I don't know if he'd leave Louisville for Vanderbilt, but you think he would, you know, to coach with his former teammate there. So, you know, I'm sure there's some staffers, maybe not existing position coaches, but some staffers at Notre Dame that he'd bring with him. So, you know, that's going to be important. And as you guys probably talked about today, he needs to get the staff going, obviously. But with signing day tomorrow through Friday, looks like most of their recruits are going to sign. It's not like they need to have five or six staffers in place recruiting like crazy. That's one weird benefit of the calendar this year. They can get this class signed, and then he can go back to his Notre Dame duties and work, you know, get the staff ready and recruit for February. But they're going to have 80% of their class knocked out in the next few days.
Of course, everybody will be curious to see who he names as the offensive coordinator, with him being a defensive coordinator.
Yeah. I mean, that's Todd Fitch, I thought, did a good job this year. It's very well respected. I wouldn't be shocked if Todd Fitch, you know, we don't know what his future is, but, you know, he's a guy that I'm sure Clark Lee will talk to.
Yeah. Speaking of Clark Lee's task this week, I think everybody's curious to see Act Two, right? They beat Clemson. It seems like if you're going to beat Clemson, you're going to outgun them somewhere, so... good defense is a relative term, right? You got to get the timely stop, maybe a couple of key turnovers. But this may be a much more difficult task the second time around. Of course, Trevor Lawrence, but also on a neutral field, all of that stuff. How do you see this game? What kind of shot does Notre Dame have?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think they had, even without Trevor Lawrence, I didn't think, you know, I picked Clemson. I have to go back to the tape, but I'm sure I picked Clemson to win that game. Clemson would be my pick now. You know, I just think they, with Lawrence back and you know, Etienne, they have so many weapons. And, you know, I don't know, the revenge factor. You know, obviously, they want to win this game because they want to make the playoffs. So, I mean, it's a tough task. And you know, it's been a theme of college football. And obviously, Nick Saban's talked about it with how great the offenses are now. And you kind of mentioned it, timely stops. You're not gonna hold Clemson to 250 yards and, you know, 3 yards of play. They're going to move the ball. They're going to score some points. Can you keep them out of the end zone? Can you force them to kick field goals? That's the key, obviously. Force a turnover here or there. I think one thing Notre Dame has going for it, and it sounds simple, but they beat Clemson. There's a belief in that locker room. And you can talk about believing, and you can talk about we're Notre Dame, we should be able to beat any team in the country. But, you know, they played them in the playoffs a couple years ago, and they got run off the field. There's no shame in that. That was a great Clemson team. But those guys know, Ian Book, fifth-year senior quarterback, those guys know that they, not that they can win, that they have beaten them. So I think that is a huge, there's no awe, there's no fear factor at all. So I'm looking forward to the game. I just hope with all the championship games, we get some close games, because in the past few years, too many of these have been way too lopsided.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic. And along those lines, I asked this question earlier to Pete Sampson, your colleague at The Athletic that covers Notre Dame, but we've talked about Brian Kelly and what he's done there and the success that he's had, but winning the big one, whether it's a national championship or now, of course, he finds himself in a conference championship game, which is unusual for Notre Dame. I know they beat Clemson earlier in the year, but as you just brought up, having Trevor Lawrence there makes this an even bigger game. So do you feel like there's a little extra pressure, even though with a loss they could still be in the playoff, for him to win one of these big games?
That's a good question. I would say no. My take on Notre Dame, and, you know, Willie and Darren, who were all the same age, Chase, you're a little bit younger. My opinion and expectations, they've changed over the years. You know, growing up, Notre Dame was a championship program. They won the national championship in 88. You expect them to be in the national title hunt. Then they had that stretch there where they just weren't consistently good, and you're like, okay, their time has passed. Now I think they're not Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, even Georgia in that range as far as programs. But now I think they've kind of elbowed their way back into we are a solid top 10 program that can be in position to compete for national championships. And I think the fact that Brian Kelly has got them back there, the fact that they beat Clemson, I don't think this game is a referendum on their program at all. I think he's had a great three-year run right now. And if they can keep the ball rolling, then it's kind of they've reestablished themselves as a, I'm going to call them a second tier national power, which I think, you guys speak up, 5-10 years ago, I didn't think, most people probably didn't think we'd be talking about Notre Dame in this light, that they're a program that can compete for a national championship. But they're there. I mean, as we've learned, there's a huge difference in the playoff era between making the playoffs and winning a national championship. To make the playoffs, you got to be a pretty good team. To win a national championship, you have to show the ability to beat two elite teams in back-to-back games, which is obviously very difficult.
Mitch, we Alabama, Florida, and the SEC championship. What do you make, though, of the comments Dan Mullen had after the loss to LSU of saying, you know, I can only control what I can control, but maybe we should have played less games, which was an obvious shot at maybe the Big Ten or the ACC, take your pick. And then you have Dabo Swinney kind of going at what Greg Sankey said. So there's all these pot shots being thrown around because of the number of games. And I think this is something that we expected when it came to talking about the college football playoff. But what are your thoughts on some of these comments?
Well, I just credit Dan Mullen for overcoming so much adversity as the head football coach at University of Florida with all the hurdles that you have to, you know,
oh, yes,
and the difficulties building a program and winning. No.
Shoe throwing.
Yeah, just shut up. I mean, you've got you are a great coach. You have a great team this year. You can think that privately. And he makes a good point. I mean, of Ohio State, of all programs, we have learned in recent years, navigating a 12-game regular season is not always the easiest. You might lose at Purdue. You might lose at Iowa. But in this strange year, you got as far as you did, and if you Marco Wilson doesn't throw the shoe, you probably win that game. Just don't say out loud everything you think. That's kind of my, you know, we want coaches to speak up. I get that. But in that case, he just comes off like a sore loser. And he's not changing. It's not the playoff selection committee guys, they're not sitting there going, you know what? I never thought of that. Thanks, Dan.
That's right.
You know, it's like coaches petitioning the NCAA tournament committee in college basketball. You're not changing anyone's mind. All you're trying to do is get the public on your side, the fans on your side, so that if you don't get in, then everyone's like, oh, they got screwed. It's like, I mean, I get it, it's politicking, it's done in sports and everywhere, but it's just, you know, I just kind of rolled my eyes when I saw that.
And
by the way, guys, I know slight change of subject here. Just think about University of Florida football, and we're talking about fits and coaches and guys, you know, hiring coaches. Florida, after Steve Spurrier, Jeremy Foley's considered one of the best athletic directors in SEC history. He hired 4 football coaches. 3 of them did not work out or were, I wouldn't call them spectacular failures. And Urban Meyer, the one he hired, was an absolute layup, slam dunk. Like anyone could have hired him. So, you know, Ron Zook, Will Muschamp, and Jim McElwain at the University of Florida. So 3 out of 4 hires there didn't work out. That tells you how hard it can be to make these hires.
I feel like, too, with Dan Mullen, just a quick side note, that it's like wrestling. You know, he was the baby face. Everybody liked him at Mississippi State. You know, then he makes the heel turn. He turns on Hulk Hogan, and he moves to Florida. That's just kind of what it's – seems like what it's been with him.
Yeah. I mean, the quote knock on him, and maybe why he didn't get other jobs earlier, is he has the reputation as being the smartest guy in the room and comes, you know, isn't afraid to tell people that in interviews and comes across that way. And he is, maybe he's the smartest guy in the room. He's a great coach and he's had success everywhere. And he, if he stays at Florida long-term, in my opinion, they'll win a national championship, but maybe he doesn't care how he comes off. Some coaches are just tone deaf and they don't realize, you know, how they're being perceived, or they don't, like I said, they don't care. So, it's something for us to talk about. We spent 5 minutes talking about Dan Mullen. You know, what a great game and weird comment that was.
Yeah, absolutely. Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, the current top 4. In your mind, what has to happen this weekend for that to change? Not necessarily in that order, but those 4 teams.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I mean, obviously, Ohio State getting upset that's not likely, but that would be the easiest scenario for that to change. Notre Dame beating Clemson, I would have to see how Clemson plays, but I would think a 2-loss Clemson team would have a tough time making it over Texas A&M. You know, so I mean that's Texas A&M's best hope. Texas A&M needs to come out, and they can't just beat Tennessee 20-14. I think that it's a beauty contest for them. I think they need to look really good doing so. this week. So I think, you know, Notre Dame beating Clemson is obviously a huge, that could really shake things up again. Florida losing now, Florida beating Alabama, Florida's not going to make it. Alabama's going to make it even if they lose there. So I think the slim chance that Ohio State loses is something to watch out for, then obviously the Notre Dame beating Clemson.
Michigan, Iowa has now joined Purdue and Indiana. Those Big Ten games will not take place this weekend.
Yeah,
I'm sure
just,
Jim Harbaugh is probably throwing a party because I can't imagine that he wants to coach any more games this year with this team. So add them to the list. Not playing.
It's been a difficult year. Now that, you know, early signing period tomorrow, for all the things going wrong at Michigan, they've got a top 10 recruiting class that could get even better. They got a five-star quarterback coming in. So if he's back, like it looks like he's going to be back, that, you know, maybe they just reset things, make some staff changes. They will have some talent next year, but, you know, obviously that's been, you know, talent's usually not the issue at Michigan last years at least.
Will they have the same safeties coach next year, Mitch?
I don't think so. That's that's kind of, to quote my good friend Beavis, I'm not sure if it was Beavis or Butthead who used to say kind of gone in burrito instead of incognito there. So we haven't.
Did you say your good friend?
Wouldn't you guys love Beavis and Butthead? I love both those guys.
Yeah, they're all of our friends from that
I just
era,
know
right?
You guys were tight. That's all. Of course, I know the reference, but yeah.
Chase, are you familiar with Beavis and Butthead?
Oh yeah, big time.
Okay. Yeah, I spent way too many hours in my apartment in New York after college watching Beavis and Butthead. So, but you know, I'm an adult now, so you know, maybe I don't watch them anymore. Although I did do some YouTube. I was showing my son Beavis and Butthead the other day, but you know. I don't think
as any good father would, right? Show your teenager Beavis and Butthead.
Okay, come here. Let's spend 4 hours watching Beavis and Butthead.
I have an AC/DC shirt. Does that count?
Nah, I've called you certain things that are very similar to Butthead.
you have, Mitch.
This interview has kind of gone off the rails a little bit.
I love it.
Well, I mean. The fact is, you wouldn't have known that you didn't sign the contract. I thought you brought it today, so job well done, you know, for not signing the contract. It felt like a signed deal.
I'm a professional. I'll perform contract or no contract.
All right, Beavis. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Mitch Light. And who knows? Light after Lee could be a reality.
I like it.
Next year. He's with The Athletic. We will come back. More on the other side. It has been an action-packed show, as you can imagine. Here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, I'm going to tell you how you can make every game interesting. It's BetMGM. Sign up for BetMGM Sports and get your first bet risk-free up to $500 when you use the bonus code, very simple, write this down, 1025GAME. That's 1025GAME. Now when a player makes a splash, you have a chance to make some major cash. Nice play on words there. I love BetMGM. I've been using them for several months now. I've had a lot of success, and I know a lot of you have as well. BetMGM makes every game matter more with innovative parlay selection features, in-play betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. They have all your favorite sports, so it's easy to find them there. They're the same people that light up the Las Vegas Strip with the world's best casinos and sportsbooks. They're ready to light up your device with opportunities to win big. It's a very simple process. You can download the app today or go to BetMGM.com. Use that bonus code 1025GAME to get back up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. Tennessee sports fans will always bet fearlessly at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee for problem gambling support. Call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Don't forget our NFL Game of the Week.
Love it.
This week will be Kansas City and New Orleans. The Saints coming off a stinging loss in Philly to the Eagles. And the Chiefs got a win down in South Beach against those fans. K Kickoff is at 3:25, and that's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on Hockey Fights Cancer Day, here all day on ESPN 102.5 The Game, trying to raise some money, help the Predators and the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund, bring awareness, you know, and do some research to help fight this awful disease and help those kids at Monroe Carroll Junior Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. We've seen the effects of that over the years and how far it's come along with those funds. In fact, Pecorine, congratulations to him. He's a daddy today. He delivered recently over to the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital a check for $365,000. He did this last month, and that was for everything that was raised last season during Hockey Fights Cancer, all the fundraising that was done. They've raised millions over the years. And, you know, to honor kind of Pecorine being a daddy today, how about a $35 donation? If just, you know, I'm going to change it a little bit. If just 1,025 of you donated $35, because we're trying to get to $36,500 today, and then the other 18 just gave a little bit more, that would get us to that goal. I know the copy says 1,043, but, you know, since we're doing this today on these airwaves, I think it should be 1,025. Give $35, and then
like
the
that.
Other 18 yeah. people, you know, just give a little bit more, and that'll get us to our goal. And I know a lot of you have been doing that today. Anything, honestly, would help. If it's $5, it's $10, anything would help. You just need to go to charity.gofundme.com/365fund to donate. Like I said, anything you can do will help. And thank you for all those who have helped throughout the course of today.
I jumped in there during a break and made my donation. So, hope everybody else will too.
BetMGM says you donate every weekend. Hey, all righty. Hello. Hey, hey.
Well played. Well played. I think DraftKings says the same thing about you. So
I don't think so there, big fella. I'll show you my... Show you my balance. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
Don't think so.
Is your balance that high because you don't know how to make a withdrawal?
No, I just haven't. I just haven't done it yet.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going on November 1st, man. Nothing's changed. Initial deposit and everything's all good.
I like it. That's good.
You know.
I know.
You know
no,
what
I
happened?
Know.
Last two weekends, man. Sundays.
I
should say Sundays.
You have multiple shirts. You don't have to worry about not having a shirt.
I'm layered up like Willie, man. I got like 7 layers on right now of shirts. So even if I lose a little here, lose there, I still got, you know, I have like 5 layers of shirts. Saturdays have not been my friend. It's Sundays. I'm having my success on the NFL. College, not so much.
Yeah. The NFL's been better for me too. Even though that big parlay I hit was a college one, so the Lane train closed it out for me.
In fact, if the Browns would have covered the 3.5 last night and had the worst lateral moves in the history of the NFL, setting back the league 50 years, because I had them in 3.5, I would have done something I've never done before in my entire life, and that's go perfect.
Oh wow!
In the NFL.
Now, I have
between
seen
Sunday and Monday. I had never done that before, and I thought I was going to, but obviously that came to a screeching halt with 2 seconds. Well, it wasn't even two. Time had expired.
Yeah, I mean, it was the end. It was the last play. I have seen, though, that some sports books have refunded the bets on that game because of the bad beat.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I've not checked to see if I've been so refunded. Like, just give you, they don't give you, it's not a winning ticket, they're just giving you your money back.
Yeah, and I don't, it could be they're just giving you that in the form of a free bet, not necessarily
sure.
The cash. But I know I saw that tweeted out earlier. So
where was that two or three Mondays ago when Carson Wentz threw a Hail Mary with his eyes closed to cover against the Seahawks? That would have been nice.
Roman's looking for his.
Roman is, I don't know what is going on, but I usually, everybody's gone, so typically I have the door shut, so the German Shepherds can't get in here and do this, but something has upset him.
He heard you talking about that bad beat, and he had money on it,
yeah,
too.
So. Actually, he was
some kibble on it.
He's like me and had wants a refund from that Seahawks-Eagles game, too. People don't forget.
Yeah, I know. I feel you.
Setting a precedent here.
We got to get Willie in on the action.
We do. I was just thinking that. Like, how are we going to get – I mean, I know it's
– I really enjoy just spectating and watching you guys go through the ups and downs.
Right.
Well, I mean, I also know right now it's, you know, you're one-handed, so
yeah.
Doing the
hard
research.
To click in the stuff, you know.
And he's going to be on some meds here soon, so that could
maybe
be
that's
a
when
disaster.
We get him in.
Oh, man.
That's the best time. Less thinking.
just
go
just
with the
it.
Gut. Yeah.
Just do it.
Go very with Freudian. A very Freudian practice.
You'll make some Chris Sanders picks. That'd be good.
Yikes.
Ooh. Hey, wow. Speaking of so
by the way, I spoke with Chris last night because CJ played. I asked him, I said, did CJ, he played for Clark Lee, right? And he did, his son.
Oh, wow. And
of course, CJ was on the offense and Clark was on the other side, but obviously they went up against that unit every day in practice. And he said CJ gave glowing remarks about Clark Lee.
Hmm. Was I feel like that's the thing.
Very complimentary of him.
There's a good article on Vanderbilt's website by Chad Bishop. He's got some quotes from some interesting people, Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy. You know, those guys that maybe you wouldn't think of, but they do the Notre Dame games every week, so they've dealt with Clark Lee. Both took the time to give a really glowing endorsement. So it's just interesting, you know, to get different perspectives, the feedback on this hire for sure. But I wanted to hit you guys with this. I know you guys have both, and I have too. We've been dying to talk about it. It's been overshadowed because Vanderbilt's made their coaching hire, and we had the Sarah Fuller. We got the Titans, another big win. They've got another big game. But the Dan Mullen thing with Florida, the shoe throw, the fog, the field goal, and, of course, you know, last night we get hit with another epic game, you know, with the bad beat at the end. So we've had some wacky things go on, which has provided some great entertainment and fodder for a talk show like ours. But what in the world is going on with Dan Mullen?
I've been bringing it up all year.
Yeah,
really. I mean, I've been bringing up Dan Mullen all year.
He certainly hasn't learned at all.
Saying he's
from
a
the
jackass.
First go around.
He's a great coach, but he's acting like a moron.
He's going. He's
games.
Getting up there with most unlikable status, right up there with Urban Meyer for different reasons. You know, Florida. I've always thought, you know, every SEC has got a little arrogance to some of it. I feel like Florida has always been the most arrogant.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a little bit of, oh, of course we're winning. We're a little better than everybody else. Of course we're playing for the national championship, all of that. So Dan Mullen, I'm sure, is fitting right in down there. But for the rest of the league, it's so easy to not like them. He makes it quite a bit easier.
Oh, yeah.
But what in the world is he doing?
What was the game? Well, you guys know, it set me off. Like, for weeks I talked to, what was it, the Missouri game? With the big rumble at the end of the first half.
And he was like,
he was literally the one in the middle of it. He wasn't pulling players off. I feel like he's the one who incited all that. The players saw him going nuts, and they decided to go nuts. And then he goes in the tunnel and then comes back out again, like, get it up. It's like, what are you doing? Then he showed up to the press conference wearing, what was it, Darth Vader? I don't remember. What was he wearing at the – It's
and
like,
he tried to say, oh, it's for how. See, that's the thing with him, too, that he makes these comments and then he tries to play them off like he's being playful, you know, or he just doesn't know. Like, they asked him about the guy throwing the shoe, and in the sentence before, he had talked about that, yeah, I know you guys probably couldn't see because of the fog, but it wasn't that bad. And then he goes, oh, no, I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. It's like, wait, well, which is it? You can't see or you can, or you see what you want. So it's comments like that. That's why it ties into what I brought up with Mitch about, you know, the whole he's gone heel, because that's exactly what he's done.
It's amazing. I mean, he is such an incredible coach. He's really good at what he does. But I don't know what's going on. Maybe all this was going on in Starkville, and you just don't have the eyeballs on Mississippi State's program like you do Florida. Maybe that's what it is. You just get more attention. Everything, the microscope is, you know, is bigger. When you're, you know, in Gainesville than Starkville, I mean, I get that. I mean, Florida football is a bigger deal than at Mississippi State. Maybe he's always been like this. I don't feel that way. But he's like, this year, he has been a jackwagon. I don't know if the pandemic is making him go crazy or bonkers, or like I said, if he's always been like this and we just didn't see it for whatever reason as much because he was at Mississippi State, just tucked in down there in Starkville. But every week I just like, man, you're too good at what you do to be acting like this.
I agree. And I thought Mitch made another good point. You don't, a good head coach is smart enough not to say everything that maybe they're feeling behind the scenes, but either you have to know when the right moment is to say it, how to say it, and when absolutely not to say it. With the whole thing about Ohio State, and you're sitting there just as you lost, coming across nothing other than sour grapes, like, oh, well, at least we've played our 10 games. You know, they lost as a huge favorite. They get two losses. Somebody throws them the question, and he takes the bait. Whereas, you know, I can see saying something like that if you are able to beat Alabama, which they were going to have to do anyway, right? But he's going to say it before they even play Alabama? That he thinks they should still be in there and they deserve credit for playing 10 games? That was just not, that's just not
it
smart.
Was weak.
There's no savvy to that at all.
No, it was weak.
Now there's going to be a lot of people that hope that Alabama just sticks it to them.
I don't think they're going to have to hope that hard.
Yeah, I don't either. I think,
first of all, Alabama's sticking it to everybody. Boy, I mean, they're just a machine.
They are.
They are. By the way, they were down 3-0 to Arkansas.
Were they?
Yes.
I hadn't noticed.
I think that
the final score was what, 56-3?
52-3.
Yeah. 52-3.
I think that was more like the cat playing with the mouse. You know, just like, hey, I'm gonna let you think you actually have a chance here, and then I'm gonna pounce in on you. That's what it was.
You know, it's just I do understand a little. I do. I have a little bit of sympathy, just a skosh of sympathy, because I do think it's how do you deserve to be in with five games? You've played half the schedule.
It's a valid point, but
you
can't be
the
one that says that.
Exactly. Right. And you can't
right
be
after
saying
you
that
lost.
Right after you lost as a 23-point favorite at home.
Right.
To a bad, historically bad LSU team. Like, that's the part. It's like, your timing sucks. Like, you can't say that right after that, even though I do have a little bit of sympathy towards what he's saying. But it's not after that loss. Beat LSU. You were more than a 3-touchdown favorite.
And
don't
LSU,
throw a shoe.
LSU has looked so bad.
So bad.
For so long. I was stunned. When I flipped over, I was like, I can't believe this. LSU's
winning
this
game?
Well,
we were all texting.
Game? Yeah.
It was just, yeah.
What happened?
I had it on kind of in the background while I was doing some other things, and then as it got towards the end, and I'm like, wow, this is a close game. It was one that sucked you in. Just unreal.
All right, it feels like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize, and since then we have introduced a new class of professional basketball players through the draft and seen a few marquee names switch teams. Luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season with a no-brainer. I love the no-brainers at DraftKings. Can I just say that? For all customers new and existing, if you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store right now, because you don't want to miss out on this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you the opportunity to get a team of your choice on opening night. You get 75 points, yeah. You'll get plus 75 for the spread. That's right. That's all you have to do to bet any opening night game. If your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, guess what? You double your money. You're a winner. This Saturday, there will be an endless amount of action to get in on, so don't wait. Head to the app right now. Get ready, because DraftKings is safe, it's reliable and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, get a plus 75-point spread on opening night for a shot to double up your money. That code again, 1025GAME, to double up your money on opening night. That's for a limited time. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Don't you come back no more, no more, no
I don't know who Elijah's talking to. Who's he talking about?
Talking to me.
Who does he want to hit the road?
Talking to me. About time to get on out of here. Almost nap time.
I think I've been seeing on Twitter today that, you know, Eddie Grant was let go at Kentucky from Mark Stoops, that he's getting, I think he's plucking somebody off the Rams staff. Off
really?
Sean McVay's staff, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't have the name in front of me.
I have not.
But
yeah,
I
haven't
seen
that.
He's going to the NFL ranks, and he's getting his new OC is Liam Cohen, who's coming off the Rams staff.
Huh. Interesting move.
Yeah.
Real quick, as we wrap up, Teron Davenport is here, and I was just talking to him about this. We've been loaded today, so it's been hard to really discuss a lot of things. But the NFL waiver wire.
I've not been drinking. You speak for yourself.
Well,
I don't know.
Loaded show, I should say.
Oh, loaded show. Okay, you said you've been loaded.
We'll find out. You know, NFL waiver claims here in just a little bit. Tajay Sharpe was waived by the Vikings. We know how thin the Titans are at the receiver position. What do you guys think?
Would be all over that. I'd be all over that.
I would too.
Think about the chemistry that Tajay had with Tannehill last year specifically. Tajay came alive when Tannehill became the starter. He was a tremendous role player. Now, I don't know what's going on, what went wrong since he's left the Titans, but isn't it a typical example of guy has got a nice role with one team. He hits the free agent market. He's able to make a little bit more money, but he goes to the new place and it just doesn't fit. Right. I would have had. I hope they have a waiver claim in there. You got nothing to lose there. They have a desperate need, I think, for a guy with his skill set where they already know he fits in the offense. Right? It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
I would think
it's a
so.
No-brainer. I don't know if they'll get him, but man, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, because I just think they need a little depth, you know, some bodies there, just because they're without Humphreys. And
but he's way better than anybody else they've got right now, right, in that
sure.
spot?
Sure,
he'd
yeah.
play the same role. He'd be in the same spot he was last year in the same offense.
Does he have a catch this year?
He's been completely off the grid, hasn't he?
He has zero catches this year.
Yeah, I don't really think he's played.
Is there a health issue?
He's played in four games, doesn't have a catch for Minnesota.
Wow. Is he got a health issue? Does anybody know? Has that been thrown out there?
Don't know. No-brainer? No, I wouldn't say. I'm not in the no-brainer.
Just to bring him in to try to see?
DraftKings does no-brainers. I'm not willing to go no-brainer on
it. I go no-brainer.
Sure.
I'd bring it in. I'd say, Tajay, come on down.
Keep donating,
your
please. Please keep donating. Been a great day. Hockey Fights Cancer Day, and we're going to keep it rolling right along this afternoon. charity.gofundme.com/365fund to donate.
And just go to the Predators website if you can't remember that.
Yep.
Predators.com/365fund, you're there.
Have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.